Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, October the 8th. We've had quite a rainstorm this afternoon. I mean, it really came down. I was so glad we were not doing the show 3 hours ago because we lost power, and it would have been a little frustrating to do a show without power. But things are back to normal, but there's a lot of water in the North Texas area. Today we're going to be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez, and we're going to take a look at what's happening in Texas, the politics of Texas. We're 30 days from the election, so we'll get George's thoughts on what's going on and what he sees down in South Texas, always a very important part of the situation. I have a post over at Babalu today regarding what just happened in Brazil. They had an election in Brazil, and Mr. Bolsonaro almost made it out of the first round. He got 46% of the vote. We'll be talking more about the election down in Brazil, but he's a very interesting character, Mr. Bolsonaro, and a lot of people are comparing him to Trump. I'm not sure that the analogy is 100% correct, but there are some similarities. But we're going to try to do a show on Brazil sometime this week. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. George, I was mentioning that 3 hours ago we were like the floods were hitting. I mean, it was lots and lots of water here. How about down there?
We've got it raining here right now.
So it must have gone south, whatever it was.
Yeah. It's not really raining too bad, but it is a heavy downpour. That's for sure.
Are they expecting heavy storms as well later?
In fact, the word is that there will be on and off showers all through the night with heavy thunderstorms. Those showers being heavy thunderstorms. So it's going to come and go, but it's going to happen.
Well, you must be getting what we had then a few hours ago. Well, I want to begin, George. I know you're going to like this. Congratulations to the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
They're moving on. They're moving on to the next round. They're either going to play
the Indians.
They sure did. So they're either going to play the Yankees or the Red Sox in the next round. So we'll see. That series is tied up 1-1, so it'll probably take a few days to determine that. And happy Columbus Day. I like that. Happy Columbus Day, George.
Happy Columbus Day. We can say Merry Christmas and we can say Happy Columbus Day.
Absolutely. So Columbus Day always, you know, screws me up a little bit because I always thought it was the 12th of October, but they change it every year, I guess, to a Monday, right?
Right. Yeah, as far as I remember, it used to be it has been the 12th of October, but, you know, now as they move things around, I guess, since to liberals, truth can be variable. The date of discovery can be variable.
Yeah, well, I say Columbus Day, and that's you know, all these other variations I just cannot keep up with. So happy Columbus Day, George. Justice Kavanaugh was officially sworn in here in the last 60 minutes. I actually thought he had been sworn in already.
Yeah,
but I guess
too. I thought that had happened yesterday.
Yeah, so I was kind of so there was kind of a ceremony today, I guess, with you know, President Trump and Justice Kennedy and all the members of the Supreme Court and some of the people in the White House. So, you know, I guess they did it again. I was not aware of that they were going to do it again today, but they did. It was a good ceremony, and it was fun to watch. I have very high expectations of Kavanaugh, but George, I want to get your thoughts on what happened to this man and what we've witnessed here in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, deplorable may not be deplorable enough, what was done to this man, George.
Oh, the character assassination that went on and that apparently is going to continue, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It was just over the top and, in my opinion, just almost unforgivable, just absolutely unforgivable. The radicalization of the Democratic Party, courtesy of the left, has shown that it has no bars, that it will, that the phrase "by any means necessary" literally means that to them, And it is absolutely outrageous that we in American politics have got to endure this type of vicious crusade against good people like Judge Kavanaugh, that we cannot talk about issues, that we cannot talk about issues, but it's got to be personalized to the grossest level.
No, I agree with you, and I think in this case they really went over the top. Clearly, the left is out of control. I mean, when you saw those people screaming in the gallery, when you saw those people outside banging the doors, you know, I mean, these people are giving demonstration a bad name. You know, it's just horrific, the behavior. But let me pick your brain for a second on this, because I have a post coming out tomorrow based on backlash. As I say in my post, I would like to have a nickel for every time I hear the word backlash in the media here in the last two or three days. It's backlash this, backlash that. And of course, the people on the other side are saying that there's going to be a backlash of women showing up to vote. And the people on our side are saying, yes, there's also going to be a backlash of women who are going to show up to vote. So a lot of women are going to vote. Possibly they're going to decide the election. But, George, I tend to think that people on our side, because of this, have become really engaged and motivated. That's what I pick up. I don't have to do a scientific study to pick that up, George.
I really, you know, again, it is the silent majority moving along. It is the silent majority moving along and being underestimated. They underestimated the silent majority after the election, after the Obama election in 2010. They certainly underestimated them again in 2012, and they certainly have underestimated them in 2016. This is how out of touch the elite on the left and in the media really are. You know, you've got the ridiculousness and I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but he is a white billionaire.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. The guy with the environmental. Oh, Soros. Is it Soros?
No, it's not George Soros, but George Soros
Steyer?
Is another white man. Right.
Yeah, Steyer, I think it is, or Sire,
yeah,
or whatever, the guy in California.
Fire.
Right,
yep.
Yeah.
And here he is, two white males. Old white males, that we might say, running campaigns against white male privilege. It is outrageous. It is so ironic and phony that you have these people carrying on, these two characters carrying on about white male privilege, and nobody calls them out on their white male privilege. You know,
well, I would add to that, George, Dianne Feinstein, who's married to a pretty rich guy, pretty rich white guy. I would add to that Nancy Pelosi, who's married to an extremely rich white guy. And you're right. I mean, nobody ever calls him on this. Nobody ever brings that up and says, well, you know, your husband is, you know, is he white privileged too, Mrs. Pelosi? You know, he's done pretty well in this planet. But, I mean, I really don't care, but they do. So if they keep calling it out, why shouldn't we call them
on it?
Well,
why shouldn't we ask what's the difference? Why shouldn't we ask what is the difference? The left has absolutely melted down because they have lost the House, they have lost the Senate, they have lost governorships, and they have lost the presidency, and now even worse, they have lost the Supreme Court. They are in complete meltdown. And, you know, rather than rolling up their sleeves and organizing and talking about issues, no, they personalize it. They get out there and they wear these vagina hats. They get out there and they bang like you know, a crazed Martin Luther on the doors of the Supreme Court during the sessions from the gallery in the Capitol. They were screaming like they were in some kind of mental institution. I mean, it is just, how do they expect to get respect, to get, you know, the attention of common, ordinary people if they behave like two-year-olds?
No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. I don't think they are getting the attention of people. I don't think they're getting the respect of people, because if they were, I don't know of anybody who is impressed by people screaming from the gallery, screaming obscenities and yelling at senators. I don't know anybody who would be impressed by that. If we were doing it, I'd be the first one to call them out and say, "Hey, cut that out, you fool! You're not helping us one bit by behaving like that." But I think you're right. I think the left is out of control, and now, of course, to top it off, George, now they want to impeach. Now they're threatening to impeach Justice Kavanaugh, which is, of course, that's really going to get us going, right? That's really going to excite Republicans, right, to show up to vote, right? Saying if we win the House, we're going to impeach Judge Kavanaugh. Well, that's going to, if you want to lower the volume, that's not the right way to do it, George.
Well, no, and what's sad is that even people that you would think be the adults in the room on the left, like Justice Sotomayor and Justice Kagan, they themselves made comments today that the legitimacy of the court is going to be questioned now that Kavanaugh is on the bench. How can they say that? How heck can they say that?
Oh, I agree, and I don't know how justice is even. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if I was a justice, I would think that it has been. And again, I'm not an expert on the Supreme Court, but I would think that etiquette would say you don't talk like that way about anybody coming in. You know, you stay out of politics with statements like that. Now, of course, I thought it was kind of interesting when Justice Kagan and Justice Sotomayor were talking about, there's not going to be a middle anymore in the Supreme Court. And I kept asking myself, well, why don't you move to the middle?
Exactly.
Why don't you right. come to the middle and try to, they've been almost 100% predictable liberal votes. I mean, they haven't shown any willingness to move to the middle. And
exactly.
So also, George, since when are judges supposed to be in the middle?
I thought the whole idea of a judge was to act on the law.
That's it.
Yeah.
I know. I don't understand
guilt
this.
Or innocence.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, George, let's take a look at what's happening in Texas from your perspective down there. The last poll. Well, let's talk about the governor and Governor Abbott and Ms. Valdez. Not a lot going on with that. To this day, I have not seen a television ad of Lupe Valdez, or I have not heard a radio ad of Lupe Valdez. So I don't know if you have, but I have not. I do hear a lot of stuff from Governor Abbott. Now, a lot of that, some of that, of course, is a reflection of the money that one has and the other one doesn't. It could also be a reflection of what stations I'm listening to. That could be it, too. But I have not seen anything from Lupe Valdez except that debate that they had where, she didn't come off looking bad, but I don't think she was very impressive either, George.
Now, let me tell you the analysis that I've got, that I give that debate and her performance and her campaign to date. And this is based on talking to several folks down here who act as amateur pollsters and campaign directors. It seems to them that the Democratic Party has pretty much given up on Ms. Valdez. They have, rather than helping her in any form or fashion, they're kind of just leaving her to fend for herself. My understanding from talking to some of them is that there's an actual feeling that she is just too much raw material that they could not harness any kind of energy because she doesn't have any or any mm-hmm. kind of character because she lacks it. I mean, she mm-hmm. lacks excitement. She lacks, that personality is very, very important in order to get somebody out in front of people. And they've pretty much given up, so I don't think that we're going to hear very much on it, and that includes the, you know, the word gets out to the newspapers and the newspapers begin to ignore her as well, you know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
so
she
I
just,
think that that's what's
has,
happening.
Yeah, she has completely disappeared from view. You know,
yep.
you know, it's like nobody even knows we have a governor's race here, or that,
yep.
or that the governor has a competitor. Now the other race, Senator Cruz and Representative
now,
O'Rourke.
That's something different. Yeah.
That's a different one. Yeah, that one, Representative O'Rourke is getting a ton of attention. The last poll that came out, CBS poll, I think has it at 6. The other one before that has it at 9. Yeah, take your number, whatever one you like. But, you know, he's at 44-45 in these polls. And despite all the money his campaign is raising, they can't seem to break that 45. And it kind of leads me to think that that's where he's going to be when the election comes, when the election day comes around 45%, George.
Yeah, again, that one is a lot of smoke and mirrors. That's what I'm getting. A lot of smoke and mirrors,
mm-hmm.
a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of pounding on the desk, a lot of pounding on the drums, a lot of, just a lot of noise, but not too much substance, not too much is happening. And I think, again, that the idea is the long haul for Beto. I think that what they want to do is prepare him for something else, and to groom him to come out of this looking good and looking smart and looking intelligent, which in my opinion is one of the reasons why he's having such a hard time. He has been following the game plan of the Obama game plan, where he's been going to a lot of colleges,
mm-hmm. right?
And he's getting huge crowds at the colleges. However, it is a known fact that the people that he is attracting are people who don't show up in large numbers to vote.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't show. I mean, he is attracting crowds, but these are crowds that are not transferring into voters, or that haven't in the past. Who knows? Maybe
mm-hmm.
this time I'm wrong. But it just
right.
seems like he is, again, he is out there beating the drum and getting attention from a lot of folks who probably won't show up at the polls.
Well, there was a very interesting article that came out in the Dallas Morning News this morning. If you can check it out, it's in the Metro section. And one of the gentlemen who has been covering the campaign said that Beto needs to start hitting back at some of the ads that Ted Cruz is running. Ted Cruz is clearly running ideology ads. You know, he's saying he's too liberal, and he points out why. Beto, on the other hand, the ads that I've seen are almost like, yo, my name is Beto, and I love everybody, and I'm
yep,
doing this for you,
right.
and show up and vote. I mean, so you watch the ads, and yeah, I mean, they're fine ads, but it doesn't seem to be running on any issues, but simply
that's
personality.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. It is. And again, I think that, you know, he's running in Texas. What is he going to do?
Right.
He's going to say that he supports abolishing the ICE? Is he going
right.
to say that he supports getting rid of the Electoral College? I mean, what is he going to say that he's anti-Second Amendment?
Mm-hmm.
What is he going to say in Texas? So that's the problem. The problem is that he's a Democrat, a liberal Democrat running in Texas. Now what?
Right. No, exactly. And again, his campaign, I think Cruz, to his credit, has been running a lot of issue ads and focusing on the fact that he said this or he did that. And frankly, we'll see what happens at the next debate. But, you know, he doesn't seem to be focusing a great deal on issues. He seems to be saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to run any negative ads. I'm just a nice fellow running, and I love everybody in Texas. I don't know that that works. It works to an extent, I suppose. But I'm not sure that that's going to be a winning strategy. What about anything further on the Pete Flores campaign down in Texas, or down in South Texas? I know he won, but Any further analysis of how a Republican could win a district, a blue district, as they call it, 71% Hispanic? Any further thoughts on that campaign, George?
Well, there are several, you know, there are several Hispanics that are running, Hispanic Republicans for the first time that are challenging Hispanic Democrats in the deep, deep blue valley, Rio Grande Valley area. I am not sure what chance most of them have. Whereas with Flores, there was a very, very strong organization around him, where there was a real strong effort to get the vote out and to get a grassroots effort out. I haven't really seen that with others in the Rio Grande Valley. Now, what is happening, what I am seeing in the Rio Grande Valley, is a lot of infighting among the Democrats. A lot of infighting. In fact, as we speak, and this is a good news story for you, in Mission, Texas, in Mission, last week, a visiting judge, overturned the election, the mayoral election, Mission, because they had discovered 128 bogus, fraudulent ballots. And in doing that, the Democrats in that area have just turned on each other. And, you know, I think that we are going to begin seeing a good amount of what they call walking away, a lot of Democrats walking away from the Democratic Party, particularly the establishment Democratic Party in South Texas, which has been in control forever, you know, for generations. I think we're going to begin seeing that a whole lot more. You're seeing a whole lot more Democrats in South Texas who have gotten into private business because of the Eagle Ford Shell energy boom.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So therefore they're much more independent in their economy and in their politics than their fathers or grandfathers were. And so
right.
I think that you're going to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, it's interesting because in South Texas, you have a phenomenon, and that is the Democrats have basically been running South Texas for 140 years. So, you know, when you run thing, when you have a monopoly like that, corruption is inevitable. So my guess is that the people in South Texas, when they want to clear the swamp or want to clean the swamp, what they're thinking of is Democrats. They're not thinking of Republicans.
That's right.
Because the Republicans have not been around.
Right.
I mean, the
That's
Republicans
exactly
win
right.
the state. But they don't win those districts. Well, here's a couple of things, George, for you to think about before you get back to your meeting. On this day in 1967, Che Guevara was captured and executed the next day. I think we can all say that was a good day for civilization.
Has anybody told that to the millennials on campuses, to the radical millennials on the campuses?
We've tried to tell them that. We've also tried to tell them that he was not a rock star. That little picture that they see, it's not Jim Morrison. A lot of them think it is, but it's actually Che Guevara. So he was captured on this day in 1967, and he was executed the next day or the day after. But he was captured, and it's fascinating to look at his life. His whole mission in Bolivia was a total failure, complete failure, what he tried to
yep.
do down there. And how this man became a revolutionary icon when he failed
and
miserably.
Hero.
Yeah, it's just beyond me. So every time, and I'm going to put a plug here for my friend Humberto Fontova, who wrote that book, The Real Che. Every time I'm talking to a young person, that's what I always say, you know, check out Humberto's book, because it's really the book that everybody should read about Che Guevara. It really tells you the story of this man and who he really was. And he was not the guy running around in that motorcycle. That's a wonderful movie, but that's not what he did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, listen, George,
you know,
go ahead, please. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead, George.
I really think that's another blatant case of rewriting history, and that's really, really sad.
It is. It is, because a lot of young people are getting the raw deal on this. I mean, this guy is not what they think he was. he was at all. Well, George, I know you got a meeting to get back to. Enjoy your meeting, and we'll do this again now as we're getting closer to election. We'll probably do more of these, checking out what's happening, especially in South Texas. I'm very interested in South Texas this year. I think, I don't know, maybe a surprise or two down there, George.
You got it. You got it. Take care, my man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas, always keeping us posted with what's happening in the politics here in Texas. And South Texas is a very important part of our state, our political equation. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos on the show information. If you look under the show description, you'll see a link to his schedule. You can click on that and find out where he's playing around town. Just a couple of other things before we go that happened on this day. 1970, Alexander Solzhenitsyn won the Nobel Peace Prize. He couldn't pick it up. He couldn't pick it up until much later. Eventually, he was kicked out of the old Soviet Union, and then he was given the prize when he came to the United States, I believe, or when he went to London. But he won the prize on this day in 1970. That's when the Nobel Peace Prize used to actually mean something. That's when it was a serious thing, not, unfortunately, what it became later. And if your father is an old New York Yankee fan, or your grandfather, either one, call him on the phone tonight and say, Dad, Grandfather, what day is today, October the 8th? And he's going to say, October the 8th. Yeah, October the 8th, 1956, Grandfather or Father, what was it? Well, it was on this day in 1956 that Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in World Series history. And if you're a Yankee fan, and I know that many fathers and grandfathers are big Yankee fans, even some of the younger ones are Yankee fans, but of that generation, your father, your grandfather, pick up the phone and tell them that this was the anniversary of Don Larsen's perfect game. Thank you for listening, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.